Stephen Brown, well-known minister from Florida, tells a story on himself. I've heard him speak a number of times on tape, and he has a tradition, much like I have a tradition at the end of many of my sermons to say a prayer. He has a tradition at the beginning of almost all of his sermons to say a prayer. And every time I've heard him say a prayer, at the start of his sermon, he says the same line every time. Not the same prayer every time, but the same line in the prayer every time. He always prays, "Forgive the sins of the one who is to speak, for they are many." Well, he says that a few months after he had gone to the church in Florida to be their senior pastor, a member came up to him and she thanked him for his honesty. And he said, "Well, certainly your previous pastors have made the same admission." And she said, "Yes, but you're the first one we've ever believed." Life in the kingdom involves learning to confront and confess our failure to always hunger and thirst after the righteousness which is the character of the kingdom of God. And the best way to confess that failure is on our knees. As a kingdom citizen, you must learn to pray your debts. And so in the model prayer, as Jesus teaches us how to pray like kingdom people, he includes one phrase, just four words in English, and it'll take all our time tonight to explore the depth of it. Verse 12, he says, you pray this way. You pray when you pray to God, "Forgive us our debts." Boy, there's a lot there. A lot there. One of the first things it makes me think of is this, that our need for forgiveness is as daily as our need for bread. We've honored God as Father. We've hallowed His name. We've told Him that He wants His kingdom to come and His will to be done. And then we've said, so give us daily bread so that we can have the kind of fuel and strength to go out and bring your kingdom to the world. But as much as I need for my body to be strong for God, I need for my soul to be right with God. And to be right with God requires one of two things. Either that I be perfect or that I be forgiven. Now, just in case you're wondering, I'm not perfect. Like you, I have a long track record of indebtedness to God. I have the same problem you have. I keep defaulting on what I owe God. I owe God my heart, my soul, my body, my strength. I owe God a life of total, complete obedience. I owe God a life of unwielding and yet willing service. I owe God kingdom righteousness. I owe God all these things. And I am consistently defaulting on what I owe God. And you are too. And we need to admit that. The Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. Now, it may be that you haven't defaulted as much as the person you're sitting by, or the person you live by, or the person you work next to. But that's not the point. Just this past August in Athens at the Olympics, there was an American marksman.
His name was Matt Emmons. He had won the gold medal at the previous Olympics. And it came down to the last round. It was the 50-yard three-position rifle event. And he was 3 points ahead. All he had to do to win the gold medal was just hit the target. Forget a great shot. Just hit the target. And he wins a gold medal for the second straight Olympics. And an amazing thing happened. He hit the target. It was the wrong one. He was in lane three and he hit the target in lane two. Didn't mean to. But he missed the mark. And he went from first place to eighth. Now, one of the words in the Bible for sin is this: you miss the mark. Sometimes I miss the mark because I mean to. Sometimes I miss the mark and I don't mean to. But I consistently miss the mark. I fail to practice the kind of righteousness that Jesus modeled. Now, I'm pretty good at practicing a righteousness that's a little better than my neighbor. I might even practice a righteousness that impresses you on occasion. But the righteousness that Jesus modeled, I miss the mark daily. That doesn't mean I don't take sin seriously. We don't say, let's just sin all the more so grace will abound. No. As we live in the kingdom of God, we notice in our lives a decreasing frequency of sin. But we should also notice an increasing sensitivity to sin. The more I live in the kingdom of God, the more aware I become that I miss the mark. Now, what am I going to do about this? Well, Jesus says what I should do is I should confess my continual indebtedness to God in prayer. And more than that, when I talk about my failure to give God what I owe Him, I should also acknowledge my inability to pay my debt. I don't always do that when I pray. Sometimes I pray, Lord, I missed the mark, but there were extenuating circumstances. Or sometimes I pray, Lord, I missed the mark, but if you'll just give me more time, I'll work that debt off. No, Jesus doesn't say ask for time. He doesn't say give excuses. Jesus says what you need to do with your debts is you need to ask God for a gift. You need to say, God, forgive me my debts. And the very fact that Jesus is teaching us to ask God to forgive our debt is proof that God is willing and able to do just that. The next verse in 1 John 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. Listen, God wants us to be debt free. And so Jesus says, you don't meet the mark of righteousness that I have modeled. When you pray, admit that and ask God for a gift. Ask Him to cancel your debt. Will God respond to a prayer like that? Yes, He will. I'll tell you two reasons why He will. Number one, He will because God has already paid the price. You see, a lot of us are just hoping our debt will get overlooked or ignored. Did that ever happen to you? Maybe you were in school and it was the end of the year and you had some money you owed the cafeteria and they just forgot about it. Or that movie you forgot to return to Blockbuster and you won't go back there because you keep hoping they'll just forget about it. Maybe that's happened. But it doesn't happen with God. God doesn't forget debts. God doesn't ignore debts. God doesn't overlook debts. Maybe you remember the name of James Mindor. Just this past year, he stepped down as the chairman of the Smith & Wesson Firearm Company because it was real back in the 1950s. He had been involved in some armed robberies. And he said, "I had hoped that my past would be forgotten, but it keeps popping up. A debt to God will show up. A debt to God has got to be paid. Either you're going to pay it or somebody else." So Jesus, how can you teach us then to ask God to just forgive a debt? He could do it because He was willing to accept our overdrawn account as His own. The night that He instituted the Lord's Supper, as He passed out the cup, He said to the disciples, Matthew 26:28, "This is my blood. It's poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." See, Jesus knew the Father. He knows that a holy God gets a statement that says insufficient funds. A holy God cannot ignore the statement. But He also knew that a loving Father would not want to condemn His children to a debtor's prison. And so heaven's answer was for the righteous Son to assume our debt and to pay our penalty. See, that's what happens when you can't pay a debt, right? When you can't pay what you owe, you get a penalty attached. And so Jesus didn't just pay your debt. He paid the penalty that your debt deserved. He was on the cross. And do you remember what He said? "It is finished." Tetelestai. It was a word right out of the world of commerce and banking. Tetelestai is what they wrote when you made the final payment. When the last installment was met, they wrote tetelestai. It is paid for across the bill. What does that mean? That means you and I don't have to keep trying to make deposits. We just need to confess our debt and ask that it be placed on the account of Jesus. And we don't have to worry what God's answer will be. You know why? Because the second reason I know He'll hear this prayer is because God has always cherished His children. Okay, now, I want you to put on your thinking cap for just a second. We're going to go a little deep. I think some people have heard teaching, "Forgive us our debts," that has caused them to believe that we live in a state of constant peril before God. I better pray, "God, forgive me of my sins," almost every moment, because what happens if I die and I have a sin I haven't asked God to forgive yet, and it's on my record, and I'm going to hell sure as anything? I don't think Jesus taught us this prayer to imply that our continued inability to give God all we owe Him means our salvation is in constant jeopardy. The prayer that Jesus is teaching is not for people requesting initial forgiveness. It's for people requesting parental forgiveness. It is for people who have the right to start the prayer with the two words, "Our Father." You see, back in John 1 verse 12, it says, "To all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God." Jesus is teaching people who have already confessed Him how to pray. Which raises the question, well, if I've already confessed Jesus then, if I've already accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, then why do I need to keep asking God to forgive my sins? I mean, I thought that's what God did when I accepted Christ. That's what they told me. And I was baptized into Christ, and they told me all my sins were washed away, so why do I have to keep talking about it? And I'll say again, I think what Jesus is teaching when He says, "Forgive us our debts," is that there's a time for us to pray like a child that has not lived up to the Father's expectations. And it's not that my sin destroyed my relationship with God, but it affected my fellowship with Him. I remember one time a father told me to have the yard mowed before he got home from work. And I don't know why. I was about 12 years old. I always mowed the yard. It was my job. I'd been doing it for a long time. For some reason, I picked that week to bow my back and say, no. I didn't have a good reason except that vain, selfish nature that says you're supposed to be independent. But I bowed him back and said, no. And my dad came home from work and I was expecting the whipping that he was going to give me. And he came into my room, why in the yard mode? And I just looked up and said, didn't want to. And I fully expected punishment. But I was just, for some reason, full of rebellion. And my father said, Rick, you're too old to mind me because I can whip you. You got to start minding me because you love me. And he just walked away. I was mowing that yard in 5 minutes. That was a short-lived rebellion. But see, here's the thing. My disobedience did not cost me my status as son. He wasn't going to kick me out of the family. But my disobedience affected my relationship to my dad. And I had to go back and find my dad and have to say, Dad, I'm sorry. Why? So that I could be a son again? No. Not so I could be a son again, but so I could feel welcome crawling up in His lap. That's why we pray. Forgive us our sins. Listen, loved ones. What if you sin and you didn't know it? What if you sin and you forget to say, forgive us our sins? Does God kick you out of the family? Have you lost your salvation? No. But if you continue to live a life of not giving God all He's due, and you never say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me, distance will develop between you and the Father. And you won't spend any time in His lap. That's why we pray our debts. And God will hear it because He's already paid the price and He loves His kids. So tonight, I thought it would be good again for us to practice what I'm preaching. And we're going to do that. We're going to have three times of prayer tonight as I teach you three things I think we're saying to God when we pray, forgive us our debts. First, we're pleading in anticipation of our inability to give God all He's due. You see, the next verse says, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from the evil one. What am I saying? God, I know it's a bad world. There's a lot of temptation out there. I know I've got an enemy. I am praying when I say, forgive me of my debts. I'm saying, God, I am confessing to You right now, I do not have the ability to stay debt free. I'm anticipating my inability to give You everything You're due. Now someday I'm going to be able to, I believe, when the kingdom has fully come. Jesus is fully revealed. Every knee bows. I believe then I will finally be able to give God everything He's due. But until then, part right now of giving God what He's due is admitting to Him that I don't. And another part is rejecting the path of legalism as a means of paying my debt. See, I'm anticipating that I'm not going to give God what He's due. And I'm saying, God, forgive me of it. I'm not saying, God, give me time and I'll work it off. That's another reason why I need to pray my debts. You've heard me give this illustration, but the state of Texas requires you to have a physical if you're going to adopt a child. So when we adopted our second child, I was 32 years old. I thought I was in pretty good shape, but I had to get a complete physical. So I went to this medical center to get it. And one of the things they did was give me a stress test. I've never had one. They put me on a treadmill, put all kinds of little things on my chest, started that thing up. And this cute little girl's running the knobs, and I'm walking right along. And I'm doing pretty good. So she turned it up a little bit, and I just kept going. I'm thinking, honey, you ain't going to see me sweat. And she cranked it up a little bit more, so I had to go a little faster. And then she made the incline go up a little higher, and it got a little harder. And we had been doing this for about 3 or 4 minutes, never so often. She'd crank it up a little bit more. And finally it dawned on me, I ain't going to beat this machine. I don't care how hard I try, she can always crank it up a little bit. And that's what legalism will do to you. Thinking, if God will just give me time, I'll work so hard, I'll pay my debt. I don't care how hard you work. Legalism will always turn up the crank and demand more. When I pray my debts, I'm saying, Father, I don't give you all your due. I don't give you all I owe you. Forgive me. I need something more than bread, God. I need mercy. I need grace. I need forgiveness. So I want you to pray with me right now. That's what we're going to do. In need of grace.
In need of love. In need of mercy raining down from high above. In need of strength.
Say, Lord, I don't give you what you're due. I admit it. Forgive me. Just do that right now before God. Until the day that Jesus comes, we ask you to increase your grace and increase your mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We say, forgive us our debts in anticipation of our inability to give God all His due. And we say, forgive us our debts in appreciation for all God has and will cover in Christ Jesus. You see, when I say, God, forgive me my debts, I'm confessing my confidence in not just His ability, but in His willingness to cancel my debt. I'm exercising my faith in the promise of God. The Bible says in Psalm 85, verse 2, you've forgiven the guilt of your people. Yes, you have covered all their sins. And you know, when God covers your sin, folks, it's covered. Stephen Brown tells a great story about a fellow that was driving in a remote part of France in a Rolls Royce, and it broke down. And there was nobody in the area that knew how to fix such an exquisite car, so he had to call all the way to England. And they flew a mechanic there the next day to fix that car and get him on the way. Well, he just assumed that any day now he was going to get a pretty huge bill, but he waited some months and it never came. So he wrote the Rolls-Royce people saying, thank you very much for being so responsive, for sending a mechanic all the way to France to get my car fixed, to get me on my holiday. But I never got a bill. Can I expect one soon? And he got this reply. Rolls-Royce wrote back, we have no record of any Rolls-Royce ever having mechanical problems. And when the enemy makes all his accusations, I can just see the angels of heaven saying, we have no record of any of this. It's all been erased. It's all been covered. Maybe you've had a statement come back from a bank and it said, insufficient funds. If it wasn't for the cross, we'd all get a statement like that from heaven. But you know instead what we get to say? We get to say, praise God who wrote, my grace is sufficient for you. So let's pray and thank Him for that. We'll just change one word of a popular song. Sing it with me. You paid a debt
you did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, amazing grace. Christ Jesus
and just thank God that His grace is sufficient. Oh, thank you, God, that every time we uncover our sin, you cover it with blood. And by faith, we believe you will keep this promise in Jesus' name. Amen. Forgive us our debts. You could spend a long time on just four little words, can't you? What a powerful thing to pray. Jesus knew what He was doing when He taught us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts. And one more thing we're doing when we pray that. We're pleading in appropriation of our restored relationship with our Father. You see, God doesn't just want you to be debt free. God wants you to feel debt free. Satan wins way too many battles here. He impedes the progress of the people of God by putting on us a big old backpack full of guilt that we shouldn't be carrying. Because even though we are debt free, we don't feel like it. And guilt's like garbage. I don't care how many times you take it out, you got to take it out some more. And that's why it's important to pray every day, God, forgive me my debts. It's a wonderful way to appropriate the forgiveness of God and to feel what is true about you. Now, if you don't do it, you haven't lost your salvation. But if you don't do it, you could very well lose the joy of your salvation. And you could stay away from your Father's lap. Heard a story about a little boy that went for the first time to Washington, D.C. And he was so impressed with the Washington Monument that he said, I want to buy it. He was said, you can't. He said, why not? And the man said, three reasons. Number one, it's priceless. Number two, it's not for sale. And number three, it's already yours. Listen, loved ones. God's forgiveness to you in Jesus Christ. Number one, it's priceless. Get off the treadmill. You couldn't do enough to pay for it if you tried. Number two, it's not for sale. It's a gift. It can't be earned, but it can be asked for. But number three, if you've named Jesus Lord and Savior, you're walking after Him, it's already yours. And God wants you to feel it. Take the guilt out with the garbage. Enjoy the joy of your salvation. And crawl up in your daddy's lap. Let's do that right now. Boundless love, unending joy, this is my life, it's what I know. I can't believe that He selected me, Jesus my in your Father's lap and say, Father God, I want to feel the joy of my salvation. Being a father that always welcomes his kids. You know, someday when we're before the Lord, we finally see the Lamb with the wounds in His hands and feet. Only then are we going to understand what it took to pay the debt. Right now, as best we wish we could, we have no clue the price that was paid. Someday we'll see the debt. Someday we'll fall at His feet. We'll throw every crown there and say, that's what you paid? That's what it cost? That's what you sacrificed? That's how big my debt was. And we won't have any trouble taking eternity to say thank you. Until then, we can only ask for spirit enlightenment to begin to fathom how much it was. Stand up. Sing these words.
I'll never know how much it costs.
forgiveness. You might need to become a child of God and ask Him to take away your debt. Would you come down here in just a moment, confess Jesus? Would you let us baptize you into Christ? Or go to room 109 if leaders could pray with you as we worship the God who paid our debt.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for our sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Beauty that made this heart
thank you for being here tonight. Don't forget that you can get your tickets for the Christmas program tonight. And go ahead and get a few for friends at the office and at the neighborhood. And now, as you leave, may you go in the joy of the Lord. And may you fully experience the joy of your salvation. Amen.